The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Pat Lowney as he talks to entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney and I'm here this morning with Bob Molitor. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Pat.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
That's good. We had a little bit of sun before. It looks like it might have gone behind a cloud, but it's still dry, so that's good.
Getting a little rusty, but I'll take it.
Yep. So Biz Talk is brought to you each week by the Fox City Score Chapter, and we're happy to do that, and we're glad you're listening. Our guest this morning is Kurt Haling from Albertson Haling CPAs. Hi, Kurt.
Morning.
How are you?
Good.
And you're probably starting to get really busy. You've got quite a tax year coming up here, right?
We've got probably the most interesting tax year coming up in the last 30 years.
Oh, you won't be taking off this winter, right?
No. Nope.
So tell us, what are things that people should be looking for, both individuals and businesses, that should be concerned about, you know, maybe in the next couple of months as you prepare to get ready to file returns in the spring?
Well, if you remember, late last fall, there was a new tax act that went through that was the biggest change in the IRS tax code in the last over 30 years. And what happened with that, number one, the tax rates all changed for individuals and for corporations. So in the past for individuals, for instance, it went 10%, then 15, 25, 28, on up. And now it's going to go 10%, then 12%, 15, 24, 32. So roughly a 3 to 4% decrease all the way along up until the very top rate for individuals. And then for corporations, particularly the C corporations that pay their own taxes, the rates used to go 15%, then 25, then 34 and 39 very, very quickly. Now it's 21% flat across the board, which makes C corporations a little bit different animal and in some cases a little bit more attractive animal for business owners. So that's the first big change is the actual rates. The second big change is what's called the standard deduction, which is the flat amount that the IRS gives individuals, basically doubled. And so for individuals, it went up to 13%, 12,000, 24,000, depending on and if you're married or single. And so what that means is a lot less people are going to be itemizing deductions, the value of your donations, your mortgage interest, property taxes, state income taxes. You're going to have a lot more of that in order to itemize deductions, and if you don't, you take the standard deduction. One other big thing with respect to those itemized deductions is they put a cap on the amount you can deduct for state income taxes and property taxes of $10,000. So years ago, people used to have the itemizing strategy of doubling up on their property taxes some years, perhaps. That whole concept is gone now. So that's a big change. So there's a lot of moving parts to this and a lot of rethinking of the tax strategies that we've done over the course of time. Now, a lot of people said, well, why did they make that limitation on the taxes? We're paying those taxes. One of the big changes that happened on the tax rate side, again, too, is not only did the rates change, there was this animal out there called alternative minimum tax. And the way I explain alternative minimum tax to people is it's the tax you pay if the IRS thinks you're not paying enough tax. And because to try and explain what alternative minimum tax is like trying to explain the color purple to a blind man. It's a recalculation of the tax using a different set of rules, but one of the first add-backs in calculating alternative minimum tax was state, local income tax, and property taxes. So it was kind of one of these trade-offs that they made in computing the income tax. They said, well, if you're going to get rid of alternative minimum tax, and it's not totally gone, it doesn't kick in until $1 million until now for a married filing jointly couple, whereas in the past it would kick in the $150,000 range. So it's not completely gone, but it affects a lot less people. The trade-off for making that change was, okay, we're going to put the limitation on state and local income tax and property taxes. So that was the thought process behind it. Is that $10,000 limitation going to change in the future? I would think that's one of the first things that's going to, out of these changes, that's going to be one of the first things that cap is probably going to go from $10,000 to $12,000 or $15,000 or $20,000, somewhere along the line. And the other quirk in the rule is it's a flat $10,000. Doesn't matter if you're single. Doesn't matter if you're married filing jointly. So I've had some situations where maybe some people own some property together or something like that. One's single, one's married. I said, well, have the single guy pay the tax because he's got a little more play in his $10,000 limitation than the other guy does. So it's making us rethink how we handle some of these tax strategies for people.
Okay. So probably is a time if people haven't paid a lot of attention through the year to be talking to their accountant to just check in while you've got a little less than 3 months now before the end of the year to make some adjustments if they have to, right?
Well, exactly. And as you said, these changes all went into effect last year, and they made a lot of noise in the news last year. And as news cycles go, we're 9 or 10 months past the time that the rules are passed, and now the big conversation is what's roughing the passer and how are the brewers doing. But in the big picture of things, you still got to take a look back and say, okay, these rules have been in effect now. How is this going to impact me? And now is the time that you can still do something about between now and the end of the year, because after January 1st, there's nothing you can do about it anymore. Very little you can do about it anymore at that point. The year has passed. And one big thing that came into play that potentially can catch a lot of people off guard, individuals and business owners, is the fact that the tax withholding tables changed back in February with the implementation of these tax rules also. And what that means is everybody's federal withholdings changed back then, where your paycheck was actually slightly larger all the way through the year. And in some cases, when I talk to people about it, they're like, yeah, it looks like it's up 10, 15, 20 bucks a paycheck. I didn't really notice it. I thought they just changed something or what. They had no thought on why it even changed. That's going to come full circle now at the end of the year, because even though your income tax may be lower, the withholding may be lower by a larger amount, meaning your income tax might be lower, but your refund might be less because you had less withheld. Or you might actually be in a situation where you owe a little bit of money. So you want to catch that situation as well and make sure that you're covered properly that way too, and talk to a tax professional who can do a projection for you and help you figure out, okay, am I on track or am I going to be caught short? And if you are caught short, you can change your withholdings going forward. You can pay an estimate if you need to. And maybe there's some other tax planning strategies you can implement as well.
Besides the fact of having sticker shock, if that's the right word for thinking you're going to get a refund in the fall or in the spring of the year, and you end up paying a little bit in, there's also limits of how much you can pay in before it starts to kind of sting you a little bit more too, right?
Well, yeah, you want to make sure you're covered so you don't end up with an estimated tax penalty. And if you end up owing more than $1,000, you can have an estimated tax penalty. That estimated tax penalty, it's not going to blow you out of the water, but it's going to irritate you. It's based on an interest rate. It runs typically around 4% annualized. So on $1,000, you're talking 20 bucks. Well, 20 bucks is 20 bucks, and it's, but it if it's a much larger amount, obviously that amount can increase as well. So
what will people see when they file? Like, I know they talked about, there was talk anyway last year at this time about having a postcard, kind of a return to file. And
yeah,
I know it's
not
going to
be a
that.
Postcard.
Yeah. But there is going to be some changes to the, the individual as far as what they're going to see. And
yeah, it's not going to be, the postcard concept was kind of a political publicity stunt, but there are going to be situations where people who itemized in the past are now going to be just taking the standard deduction. So to a certain degree, it's going to simplify things for those individuals. There's going to be people that maybe it'll take advantage of some things, but they're going to have to get a little bit more creative. One of the other big things that we haven't talked about yet that changed with this and that may come into play and really catch some people by surprise is some of the deductions that you're able to take in the past under what they called the 2% that were limited to 2% of your income, that whole section of the return is going away. So, for instance, if you're a commissioned salesperson who is on a W-2, not a contractor person, but a W-2 commission salesperson who maybe didn't get their mileage reimbursed, and so they always took that as a deduction, that deduction's gone now. The over-the-road meals and entertainment, that's gone now in that section also. So those individuals really need to talk to their employers and say, okay, maybe we adjust the wages a little bit in order to get these expenses reimbursed because we're not getting a deduction for those unreimbursed expenses anymore. But the business owner can.
So you're saying if an employee has a vehicle and he gets a monthly stipend from his employer, and that should cover his expenses and things of that nature. But then he has extra expenses for mileage and things of that nature. He can no longer claim a lot of that.
Those extra expenses are not going to be deductible for him, no.
And that's substantial.
That's huge in a lot of these cases, yes. And that's, we're having some of these conversations with people, and after they get done rolling their eyes, they say, what do we do about it? Well, that's a conversation you got to have with the employer then.
So we're coming into a year. We're in a year. It's already in place, and now we're coming to the end of this year where people are going to have to start filing returns and things like that. There are a lot of changes, and especially from where we've been. Yeah, I think you talked earlier, it's probably the biggest change we've had in the last 30 years.
It is, and so in one perspective, what's going to happen is, when you think about how these things flow through, number one, the IRS is behind the eight ball as far as their time frame to get the forms in place, to get their softwares in place, to accept these returns electronically and process these things. And there's going to be a lot of glitches in their system as these things convert over as well. So it's going to push the filing back. You know, normally you could start electronically filing maybe by the middle to end of January. I won't be surprised if it's not until the first or second week of February this year. And then, as well, the software companies, whether you're doing TurboTax or one of these off-the-shelf type things, or whether you're going to prepare, and their software companies, you know, for instance, our software company, they're behind the eight ball because they have to wait for the IRS to get their systems in place, and they have to get their softwares in place with all this. If you're expecting to get your refund back by get your taxes filed by the end of January, first week of February, and get your refund back by the middle of February, that's probably not going to happen this year because all these things, all the steps in the process are more than likely not going to be in place.
I got a statement from my broker in the last week or so. And in that statement, they also had a breakdown of, and I think it's like four different waves of 1099s that can come on. I know this happened last year, and I think it's happened for a couple of years, but it goes to that point where, you know, depending on what kind of dividends and things you're getting, you may not get those dividend statements till as late as, I think, March 15th.
Oh, and those are getting worse all the time, too. And part of that is because of the reporting requirements that have been placed on the brokers' houses in the last 10 or 12 years. What we're seeing with a lot of those, yeah, a lot of those aren't coming out until March 15th, or they get them out early, and then you get a corrected one 2 weeks later or a month later, and you've already filed the return for the people, and then they bring in the corrected one, and so you've got to amend the return if the correction is significant. And I've got clients that are to the point with it where they don't even come to see me until they get the second or third correction. You know, they don't even come in until about the end of March.
Okay, well, we're talking to Kurt Haling from Albertson Haling CPAs. If you'd like to call in with a question, you can call us at 281-1150 or 866-887-1150. You're listening to BizTalk on WHBY.
Are you a business owner looking to purchase real estate or equipment? Did you know there's a program out there that any bank or credit union can offer to help you make it happen with as little as 10% down and long-term fixed rates under 5%? It's called the SBA 504 program, and it has been working for small businesses for over 35 years. So next time you are talking to your banker about real estate or equipment financing, make sure you ask them for the SBA 504 option, because knowing all of your options is good business. Learn more about the SBA 504 program at WBD.org.
At Alberts & Hayling CPAs, your success is our success. We can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. We offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Alberts and Hayling. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Hayling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Fox Communities Credit Union. We have a line for you. You need to understand. We have a line for you. Yes, you can. Fox Communities.
You think that sounded out of date? Have you seen your bathroom lately? Get the money you need to make the updates you want with a home equity loan or line of credit from Fox Communities Credit Union. You can use the money to consolidate debt or make repairs, improvements, and updates to your home. Finding a house in today's market isn't easy, so use a home equity line of credit from Fox to transform your current home into your dream home. It's your money. Use it however you want. Make life happen. And keep things up to date.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
Get more information on a home equity loan or line of credit. Visit foxcu.org or one of 22 Fox locations.
Fox Communities.
Welcome back. We're glad you joined us this morning. We're talking to Kurt Hayling, CPA, about some of the tax changes that are going on. And we have a call from Mike. Mike, are you on there?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a question for Kurt?
I do. My mother stands to inherit several million from her brother, and the family is wondering, is there any way we can set that up that there is no taxes taken out of that estate?
That sounds like a pretty complicated question, especially with that kind of dollar amount, because a couple of things that become an issue there is it depends what form that money is in. Is it IRA money? Is it Roth IRA money? Is it life insurance? Is it what we call non-qualified stocks, which would be outside of an IRA or Roth IRA? Is it savings and CDs in a bank? I mean, how the money is distributed is one of the first questions I would ask in that situation. So it sounds like a more complicated question than we're going to be able to answer on the phone, but that's the first question I would ask is what format is that money coming in as? Because there are some ways that some of that money can come through tax-free, but if it's coming through an IRA, anything she receives through an IRA, once she withdraws it from the IRA, and she's going to have to withdraw at least a portion every year, once she withdraws it from the IRA, it becomes taxable. So that's probably a more complicated question than we're going to be able to answer on the phone, but that's the first question I would ask, and I would see if you can get a breakdown of how those monies are going to be distributed and in what formats.
Possibly, is it in a trust or had it?
Right. That's another thing, is it could be coming through a trust or something like that as well. So that's the first thing you're going to need to get your arms around is what's the format that this money is going to be coming through as. Some of it may be able to come through as non-taxable, but my guess is in a lot of cases, this money has been deferred over the course of years through IRAs and things, and once that comes out, that's going to be taxable.
And what would a general tax percentage be levied on several million?
Oh, you're going to be up. If the whole thing were going to end up being taxable, I mean, you're probably going to end up going, you know, the rates are going to start 10, 12, 22, 24, 32, and you're probably going to end up at 37 and 39% once you start getting, if the whole thing ended up being taxable in 1 year. So this is a situation where you're going to want to sit down with somebody and get some good planning sketched out for you to help minimize that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Mike. And we have a call from David. David, are you there?
Ask again.
David, are you out there?
Oh, sure am. Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if your guest is familiar with a book called The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein?
I've never heard of The Shock Doctrine, no.
All right. Well, she basically describes how disasters, that there are these economic vultures that will move in on a disaster. And instead of a region being able to take care of itself, these economic vultures will just buy up whole swaths of what used to be public property. So, for example, it was really developed after Katrina. And when you see, I think there were five different members of Trump's cabinet that were put together that were these economic vultures. Betsy DeVos ended up owning much of the school districts of New Orleans and some of the surrounding parishes. And so she's personally profiteering every day that goes by privatized schools after these disasters. And the reason that Trump doesn't do anything to give aid to, for example, Puerto Rico, is because he's intending to drive everybody out and then buy up all their land at 2 cents on the dollar, or give himself a grant to redevelop the area at taxpayer expense. So I'm wondering, with this whole the tax break that those old boys gave themselves a year and a half ago, they're starving the nation. They're making sure that the sewer systems fall apart.
Dave, I want to interrupt, Dave, but do you have a question here? We're on kind of a short time frame here.
Yeah, I know America's on a short time frame because these economic vultures are doing this. And the fact of the matter is that this tax break that they gave themselves is going out of their way to make America collapse, so that these boys are able to buy up our school districts at pennies on the dollar. They're able to buy up our sewer systems.
Dave, we really got to interject here. Do you have a question? Do you have a question for Kurt, please?
I'm sorry. We appear to be having some technical difficulties. The line just cut out.
Okay. So just a reminder, we're taking calls, but we'd like to keep the calls on the current tax bill and how it's going to affect businesses and individuals with those businesses. So we're going to take a break. If you'd like to give us a call, 281-1150, 866-887-1150. You're listening to BizTalk on WHPY.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Albertson Hailing CPAs, we work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and help maximize profits. From asset protection to tax planning and more, we'll guide you through a financial plan. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Albertson Hailing, personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Your legal business concerns are important to me. Legal Business Edge delivers value by working as a partner with you, our client, to help you understand your legal options. Focusing just on business law, we take the time to get to know your business and develop a legal strategy that will help you reach your business goals. Whether it involves intellectual property, contracts, negotiating for your rights, buying or selling a business, or organizing your business structure, Legal Business Edge gives you the creative legal options you need.
Sarah DeBruin provided our company solutions that saved us time and money, as the quality of her guidance and diligence provided creative solutions unparalleled by other attorneys.
Know your options. Call Legal Business Edge at 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
Do you believe your business can generate more in profits, be more efficient, and grow successfully? At Priora, our vision is applying financial literacy, yours. You are searching for a method to truly understand and manage the cash flow of your company. You know you should have a better working knowledge of your cash flow. The Priora Business System is an excellent template for the motivated business owner to successfully achieve profitability and growth. Visit PrioraCFM.com for more information or call Tony at 920-450-2840.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney. I'm here with Bob Malther this morning, and we're talking to Kurt Hailing, CPA. We have Don on the line. Don, do you have a question for Kurt?
Yes, I do. My question is, is there a dollar amount where somebody should go from a S corporation to a C corp?
A dollar amount?
Income-wise?
I don't know if there's a hard and fast dollar amount, but there is a threshold once you start making. I would say if you start making over $100,000 to $150,000 in the S corporation, I would start looking at the C corporation, just because of the fact now with the new rules you get the flat 21%. It might actually make the C corporation a little bit more attractive, but you know, every situation is going to be a little bit different. But at that point, I would start looking at it again.
Okay, excellent. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Don. So before we go back to Kurt, I want to just update a couple things we've got going on for education with the SCORE chapter. We have our QuickBooks classes, which were supposed to start this last Wednesday. We had some scheduling that we had to work around, and they're going to start this coming Wednesday. So if you haven't signed up for those, you still can. Go out to foxcities.score.org. There's four classes that will go the next three Wednesdays, and we're going to skip the 31st, which is Halloween, and then finish up on the 7th of November. So we're just pushing back 1 week. It gives you more opportunity if you're thinking about this. They're great classes, and I think it'll be very helpful. The SCORE chapter is also sponsoring another Google event at the Bordini Center at Fox Valley Tech on the 17th. This event is going to be focusing on small businesses and your online presence so that hopefully you can generate more sales in the upcoming holiday season. So if you're interested, again, go out to foxcities.score.org and look up more details on that and also sign up for that. And then we have a session on the 2019 healthcare reform for small businesses and individuals. This meeting is going to be held on October 22nd at the Fox Cities Chamber of Commerce building in Appleton. It starts at 6 p.m. If you'd like more information or to sign up for that, again, go out to foxcities.score.org. And a reminder that that session will also be repeated again on November 5th at 11:30 a.m. from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Fond du Lac Library. So you've got two opportunities there. And again, the website for that is foxcities.score.org. So let's.
Can I put a plug in for Connector?
Oh, yes, yeah, yes.
The SCORE is going to be having a booth at the Connector event at the Fox Cities Exhibition Center on 1023, 1024. We've also brought in Google. Google has been generous to be a major sponsor for this event, and they're also bringing in people from California to work with SCORE and putting on some seminars and things of that nature. So if anybody's interested in talking with Google, or we will have active mentors at the event that people can come and talk to a mentor from SCORE in accounting, banking, legal, marketing, social media, IT, you got it. So that's coming up on 1023 and 1024.
Thanks, Bob. And, that's going to be a great event. And Google, we've been doing, our SCORE chapter has been doing a lot this past year with Google and the efforts they're making to help promote local small business. So I think it's going to be a great event. So let's turn back to Kurt. Kurt, there's changes that are coming up for business people also.
Yep.
That they need to be concerned
with.
Yeah,
there's some big changes and some things. And actually the last caller had kind of leads into this because you really want to reevaluate your business structure with these new rules. With respect to people that are being taxed as sole proprietors, partnerships, and S-corps, and that includes your LLCs that are taxed that way as well, those people are going to get a 20% off the top reduction in their net income. And what that means quite simply is if you made $10,000, you're going to get taxed on 8. If you made $100,000, you're going to get taxed on 80. First 20% comes off the top. There's a few quirks with that I'm not going to get into on the radio because they get a little bit technical, but that's the basic gist of it. So that 20% off the top is pretty significant, and that is a byproduct of the C corporation rate going down to a flat 21%. The 21% went, it used to be 15, then 25, and then all the way up to 39% for C corporations. And as they were going through this process, what happened was, it was actually Ron Johnson from Wisconsin who pounded his fist in for the small business owner and said, if you're going to give the seed corporations the break, you've also got to give the small business owners a break. And so that's the break that they came up with for the S-Corps and the partnerships and sole proprietors. So those are pretty significant changes, and that's what I was telling the last caller. You might want to reevaluate, does it make sense to stay in S-Corp? Does it make sense to switch to a C-Corp? And there's some moving parts along with that, but those are some things that business owners are going to want to take a look at. Some of the other big changes that go along with business owners are the deductibility of meals and entertainment. And this is one, when it first came out, it was almost cut and dried that you couldn't take any more client-related meals or anything like that or client-related entertainment, and it got taken way to the deep end. Now we've gotten some guidance and things like that where it's actually coming back to, well, no, that's not really what we meant. We just didn't want it to be abused and, well, define abuse. So we've gotten some guidance back as far as deductibility of client meals, client entertainment, things like that. What they're trying to get away from is the client extravaganzas and all of that sort of thing being written off. In the grand scheme of things, the bigger companies are still doing the skyboxes at Lambeau Field are still filled. It's essentially going to go back to where it was before over the course of time. But that was one that we were really nervous about at the beginning of the year because, okay, how do we handle this? But that's getting scaled back now. So that's going to be almost back to where it was for the average small business owner. Again, document your meals, document your entertainment, keep track, do the normal record keeping, and you're going to be in good shape on that. Some of the other things that are going to come into play for the business owners are going to be things like one of the things they're really going to take a look at is, okay, if you've got 20% coming off the top for the S corporations, for instance, they're really going to be looking closely at, are you taking out a justifiable amount of wages? Because, again, the wages are going to be taxed at 100%, but the S-Corp income is only going to have 80% of it taxed. Well, why would I take out any wage then? You still need to take out what they call a reasonable wage. So those are things you're going to want to talk to your accountant about also and make sure that you're in good shape that way as well.
So there's a lot of changes that are coming for the business owners.
And the business owner and how they get taxed on some of these things and where it's going to make sense for them to maybe take some of their deductions. For instance, a C corporation owner who ran deductions through personally, now maybe he doesn't itemize anymore with the new standard deduction. Run those through the corporation then, if it makes sense. Things of that nature.
Well, it's obviously getting more complicated from that standpoint, and I think where we're thinking that they're trying to simplify it, we think that we're going to maybe recommendation that they definitely, if you think you had your accountant taking care of your taxes, you got to challenge them or question them now as to which way I should go now and share a little bit more information. Because my concept always in the past was if it was a C Corp, you were double taxed. The C Corp was taxed, and then when you took it out personally, you were taxed. But yet now with that lower deduction or lower with percentage of with tax withdrawal, the 21%,
in some cases, that double tax is lower than what
lower
you
than
pay.
Lower than what you pay at an S-Corp. It's a personal tax. So
So it's really getting really, really, it always was, but it's getting more important that somebody has a good advisor, a good accountant, when they start at this time of the year to be looking at this because of the significant changes we've had this year to make sure you can do what you can to prepare for the spring. If you wait till January 2nd,
there's not much you can do at that point anymore.
Just write a check or whatever happens.
Yep.
So,
even if the corporations don't have a calendar fiscal?
Yeah, and that's one of the other things that's still available is the C corporations can have a fiscal year. The S corporations, you've got to get a special ruling in order to have anything other than the December year end.
Right.
So the C corporations, and that's one of the things that make planning with the C corporation interesting is having that fiscal year end so you can kind of time out owner bonuses and things like that, as far as which year you're going to put those bonuses into. So there's some things you can do that way with the fiscal year ends that make that a little bit more attractive too sometimes.
Kurt, what are other services that you provide for businesses besides just preparing taxes?
Well, we work with the business owners from point A to getting started to the point where they're ready to transition out of the business. So we're working with them on the front end to, we'll sit down with anybody for an hour, even if they're in the standpoint of, hey, I got this idea. Is this a good business idea? What do I need to think about? We'll sit down with them for a while and go through their thoughts, go through their plans, tell them what a business plan really is a lot of times, because a lot of times they don't really know what a business plan is. We can help with the projections and putting together for the bank for financing purposes. And then once they get off the ground, help them get their accounting set up, whether they're going to use a QuickBooks program. We've got certified QuickBooks advisors on staff. If they're going to run payroll, we can help with that. And then all the way through to transitioning out, whether they are going to sell to somebody internally, externally, to the kids, or as happens every once in a while, they just end up closing up shop for whatever reason. Either the business isn't going well or they just decide to move on to something else. We can help them transition out of it as well.
Do you help people make those decisions, like when you're, maybe it's time to start looking for something else or do something else?
Well, it's the old saying, definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If they're not willing to change and things are going in a, let's call it a southerly direction, then at that point we've got to say, how long do you want to keep doing this and how long do you want to keep beating your head against the wall, And a lot of times the business owner understands that as well because they're dealing with it day to day as well. So in those situations, sometimes it's just a matter of hearing it from an outside party of something that maybe they've got a gut instinct on already that it's time to wrap things up and move on.
I know some of the clients that I have for SCORE will look at QuickBooks as a method to do their own payroll taxes. I'm not a big fan of that in many cases. What would be the advantage of coming to your firm or someone like you to have payroll done versus doing it yourself on QuickBooks?
Well, QuickBooks does a good job on payroll, but the problem is you've still got to make those tax payments timely, and that's probably the biggest issue that we run into with people. If you're out and about and you're running your business and then you look at the calendar and, tomorrow's the 15th, I got to get my payroll taxes done, and you're halfway across the country, you may not be able to get that payroll tax done. Now, if you've got a staff in place and you've got a person that handles that, that's a different situation. But if you're trying to run the business and then all of a sudden find out, oh, gee, I got to get payroll taxes paid by the 15th or sales tax, or state tax paid by the end of the month or something like that, that can get a little bit hairy for some of these guys, and they end up missing deadlines, getting penalties, and a lot of times they don't understand the quarterly reports that go along with it. They'll say, I paid my taxes. Why do I need to do this quarterly report? Well, government needs to tie it together. So that's where we can help with getting those taxes paid and doing it on an automatic withdrawal. So we just say, hey, just make sure you have X amount of dollars in the bank on the 14th when it comes out so it gets paid by the 15th, and then doing the quarterly reports and getting those things filed for everybody as well.
I know an area that I see people have are surprised in payroll. Sometimes they'll look at like a QuickBooks as being a relatively inexpensive cost, but they forget the annual tax withholding tables that they have to update every year, and that can get a little bit expensive for a small organization.
It can, Intuit, who makes QuickBooks, they're in business too, and they make money, and they make money the old-fashioned way. They charge it to people. So, and once you're using QuickBooks for it, Intuit will get their fees out of you for different services. It's a good program. It's a very useful program. With respect to the payroll, they do get that annual fee. And you've got to weigh, okay, what's the cost of that fee plus my time to actually run the payroll versus just hiring that out to it's somebody like ourselves or a Paychex or somebody of that nature that's a payroll processing company.
I know from personal experience that once you get into that cycle with the IRS where they start sending letters for something they don't agree with you with, that almost becomes never-ending too.
It's a never-ending cycle. It's a very difficult cycle to get out of. Even if you're right.
Yeah.
Even if you're right, you'll still get three or four notices because you get the notice, you respond to the notice, and it takes them 6 to 8 weeks to look at it. Well, their computers kick out the next notice in the meantime, and your first thought is, well, I thought we handled this already. Well, nobody's even looked at it by that point because they just don't move that quickly. And that's even a situation where you're right, and if you're in a situation where you're not right, okay, so you get a penalty, you pay the penalty, you send it in, they send you a notice that you still owe the penalty. I mean, you know, you say, oh, what happened to my check? Where'd it go? I mean, it's the kind of nuisance that you don't need to have in your day-to-day business.
But not to downplay the value of QuickBooks, because you're our QuickBooks instructor, and you use it. I think for score clients, like startup businesses, we recommend it. I think it's a great, inexpensive buy-in for accounting software.
It really is.
They grow, then they have to talk to a company like you.
It really is, because and with QuickBooks, again, it's like anything. You know, the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. You know, if you put all your income and expense in January that for everything you did throughout the year, well, you're not going to get a lot of use out of it. But if you keep up with it and use it as a tool to analyze how's your business doing, you know, keep a good balance sheet, keep a good P&L, then we can take that and help you say, okay, here's where you're going to end up from a tax standpoint at the end of the year. Here's some things we can do. And you can really use it as a tool. We like QuickBooks probably better than any of the other small business softwares out there for that reason. There's just a few quirks that runs into maybe with inventory that if you start running some complicated inventory things, then you got to move on to something else. But for the average business owner that's buying something for a dollar and selling it for two, it does a good job.
That's what I thought.
I think I'm in favor of QuickBooks too, I think, but sometimes people have to realize what they're in their own business, and it isn't the be-all, end-all. That sometimes you have to get some help. Excuse me. I know one of the things that the IRS is notorious for is they don't start looking at your stuff until about 3 years from now, and then when they start sending notices and things, you got to go back and figure out what was it I was doing there and things, and that can get kind of cumbersome too,
and that can get really cumbersome. And that's where just having a good general accounting system in place, a good filing system, a good tracking system. So if you do get records requested, you can pull those out, and you know it's hard to remember what you did last Tuesday, much less what you did 2 or 3 years ago. So having those records in place and being able to pull them out and match them up and provide that's a huge issue.
Okay. So you're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY. We'll be right back.
Manage your banking relationship. Don't be managed by it. Lenders will require a copy of your detailed business plan to evaluate the risks associated with making a loan to your business. Many companies have already benefited by using the Priora business system to prepare their business plan and provide ongoing monitoring of their business cash flow. Priora Business provides you and your lender with the critical information needed to demonstrate your business will be able to repay the loan. Visit PrioraCFM.com or call Tony at 920-450-2840 for more information.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Alberts and Haling CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting from startup to sell-off, and more. We specialize in creating financial management plans for your business. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Alberts and Haling, personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Hi, this is Matt Wilcock. I've been helping businesses in this area for over 20 years as a business banker and now as a vice president with WBD, your business finance resource. WBD is a nonprofit company that partners with local lending institutions to offer the SBA 504 loan program. If you are looking to buy commercial real estate or equipment, want to lower your down payment and get a 20-year fixed rate under 5%, be sure to ask your banker to show you the 504 option. And don't worry, at WBD we speak SBA, so we will make it easy for you and your banker. For more information on the 504 program, visit WBD.org.
I'd like to thank our sponsors who help bring BizTalk to you each weekend. They are Fox Communities Credit Union, Albertson Hailing CPAs. Thank you, Kurt.
You bet.
And Kurt does a lot, too, for us, kind of in the background, helps us out with a lot of different things, and things, and we really appreciate that. So you've been very helpful to us.
Often at no charge.
Yep. Yeah. So, and then Legal Business Edge, if you're looking for a good law firm to help you out, WBED, who are kind of the SBA loan experts, Prior Cash Flow Management, Tony Bush's company, does a great job. Kendale Marketing keeps our website, biztalkwithscore.com, up to date. You can go out to out there and pull podcasts or look and see what we've got on in the next weeks. And finally, Business News. We really appreciate the help that you give us, too. So, Kurt, as we wrap up the show this morning, are there thoughts you want to give out on the tax law changes that we haven't covered yet?
Yeah, a couple of things we didn't really talk about. One with respect to how kids are going to be handled now, too. One of the other things, we didn't really talk about this, with the increase in the standard deduction, one thing they got rid of was the personal exemption, which was roughly $4,000 per person. So if you had a family of four, mom, dad, and two kids, you would get roughly $16,000 in exemptions. That's gone now. So that's one big change. That all kind of got wrapped up into the standard deduction. But what they did with respect to kids then is there used to be a child credit of $1,000, and the $1,000 child credit was for kids under 17, and it started phasing out at roughly $125,000. Now it's $2,000 a kid, and it starts phasing out after $300,000. So depending on your income level, you're more likely to get that child credit, and it's going to be double the credit that was before. So that's actually a benefit for the average person as well that comes through. And then for those dependents that are 17 or older, the college students and things like that, that's a new $500 non-child dependent credit that they're having in there as well. They get something in there for those, but the college kids still get the college credits. It's up to $2,500 depending on the credit. So those are still in place as well. So there's still some advantages that way for the kids, even though that personal exemption is going away too. That was one of the things there where there was a lot of arm wrestling and debate in when the act is being passed as well.
Okay.
I had a couple of things, too, yet I forgot to, and we did plug Connector before, but if somebody's not familiar with Connector and they try to Google it to register, they're not going to find it because it's not spelled the way you think. It's spelled K-I-N-N-E-K-T-O-R. And like I say, you can register for $75, and they can attend. There's going to be quite a few speakers there, round tables. There's going to be a pitch contest if anybody wants a small. They want to have a pitch for their small business, a new business, they can do that. And then the other thing we wanted to mention.
Bob, and that is going to be in downtown Appleton.
Downtown Appleton Exhibition Center, yes. Fox City's Exhibition Center, on October 23rd and 24th. And there'll be things, some evening events that people can attend as well.
Okay. And then
finally, we have the thing that Kurt's been talking about. We're going to probably keep posted on our SCORE website that we'll probably be offering some seminars on this subject.
Yeah. So on the tax law.
On the tax law changes.
I think Mary Lou was talking to me about doing something on that, too.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we hope you can help, and I'm sure you will. Yeah. So as we kind of phase out for the show this week, what thoughts would you like to leave with people that are listening?
That's the biggest thing I tell people is the rules are going to be changing dramatically. It's to the point of if you compare it to a football game, it's like taking the goalposts and moving them to the sidelines. So they're changing completely. Get help. Talk to somebody. Get an evaluation done. Maybe take them your 2017 return and say, okay, where would I fall in if I had a under the 2018 rules, new rules, where would this return fall in? Are we plus, minus, sideways? And then what can we do about it? Sit down, get some planning done, especially if you're a business owner as well, taking the business return and your individual return, get an evaluation done so you can get your help. And maybe, from that standpoint, do you need to change your structure? Is that going to help you? What's going to be the best for you? Get some planning done here before the end of the year so you can get some of those things put in place.
Planning always seems to be a hard thing to do. There doesn't seem to be time for it. There's a lot of other things that pull at your time and your energy and things, but it really, if you're owning a small business or any business or even an individual yourself, you should be doing some kind of a budget or planning that, you know, you have some idea of what you got to look forward to in the new year and what you're going to do about it, and then be able to get the help that you're going to need to do that also.
Yep. And IRS knows this, and they take advantage of that as much as they can.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too, that if you're not savvy enough on your tax return and we fail to take all the deductions we're going to require, the IRS isn't going to correct that. If they get excess money, they're not going to say, well, we'll give that money back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Kurt, could you give us your contact information if someone listening would like to contact you?
Yep, they can give us a call at the Valley, 886-2241, 920-886-2241. They can go to our website, albertshaling.com. They can catch your email there or contact us through there and set up an appointment. We've actually got an appointment setting module through there, so they can contact us to set up some time to get together if they want as well. And there's some good information on there as well.
Okay. Thanks a lot for coming in this morning, Kurt.
Appreciate it. Always a good time.
Have a good week.
Thanks.
The previous program was sponsored by the Fox Cities Score Chapter. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other hosts or advertisers.